I'm going to share with you a few thoughts on faith and prayer tonight. And if I were to give it a title as to what the Lord's put on my heart, I would call it Learning to Sing at Midnight. I caught a spark from Pastor Tim Delina's fire on Sunday morning, and it ignited something in my heart as I was reading the scriptures that he was preaching on. But I want to talk, before I do, I want to just read some prayer requests from people that, some of whom are online this evening. There's Bruce in Palmer, Alaska. It says, pray for me, I'm in my 60s. I sat down one day and started drinking. In the Netherlands, I'm in need of prayers because I watch too much television. I asked the Lord Jesus for a miracle. Thank you in advance for your prayers. Your television, I guess, can be an addiction. So you're probably lonely, and that's why you're doing what you're doing. From the United Arab Emirates, pray for the churches in the United Arab Emirates. There is disunity, loss of vision, and cold-hearted believers. Pray for my family. We don't know what to do. From Notre Dame du Nord in Canada, please pray. My son Nicholas has been in the penitentiary since 2015. My son Patrick is on drugs. My daughter Natalie and Francois are alcoholics. From Minnesota, please pray for Jesus to wash the rebellion and pride from my heart. I'm 76 years old. And I appreciate, Frank, you writing in and being so honest, because I believe that's the prerequisite to freedom. Michael from Colorado, please pray. I'm 26 years old. I'm drinking daily, and I'm in and out of jail for domestic violence. I need Jesus. Angie from Oklahoma, pray for my salvation and for Christian fellowship so that I can quit smoking and cursing. Eric from Denver, I'm a homosexual who grew up in church, and I'm engaged to be married to a man. Please pray for me. I'm in bondage. Eric, we're going to pray for you tonight as well and believe God for your freedom. Ellen in Florida, I'm a very bitter woman who's a deacon in a church. I was abused by a pastor, and it caused hatred towards men. Please pray. Ellen, thank you for being so honest. We're going to pray for you tonight and believe God for your freedom. From Englewood, New Jersey, please pray for my deliverance from porn. I find myself looking at it before I go to work and even before I go to church. It's a stronghold, and it's getting stronger. Thank you for your honesty. Raymond from Colorado, I'm a pastor, but not called or commissioned by Jesus. Please pray for humility and truth to step down. Pray for my salvation. Raymond, thank you so much for your courage tonight to share something that would cost you a lot to put down in writing. But I thank God for your humility and your willingness to consider. But I want you to consider two things tonight, Raymond. Perhaps you aren't called. That's a possibility, and you do need to step down. But perhaps also you are, and let God reveal that to your heart tonight. Maybe you have been called, but you've never been fully released from something in your life that's caused you to doubt your calling. Shonda from Colorado, TSC, fast for me. I'm seeing a psychiatrist, and I'm empty. I'm living in torment. I'm trying to find a church that can disciple and love me. From Palmer, Alaska, again, pray for salvation for my mom and my stepdad and my siblings, and for Jesus to end three generations of drug addiction. From China, interestingly, we had three prayer requests come in from China tonight. I believe that is a first. Pray for Zhao and Lee, sentenced to 5 years in prison for being Christians. Pray for their needs, strength, and for God's peace. And here in the U.S., my daughter is cutting herself and talking to people who aren't there. She needs deliverance, and she needs a Christian mentor. Now, Father, I thank you, God. Sometimes, in the simplest of stories in the Bible, there is incredible and profound truth that can affect us for the rest of our lives. And so I'm asking tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, as I share these few words, that you will unlock a treasure to somebody who's with us in this sanctuary tonight, or somebody who's online with us this evening, wondering if there is any hope at all for the future. Father, I thank you, God, that you send your word for a divine purpose. Your word tells us that you will accomplish what you set your word to do. And so what you sent it to do tonight, Lord, I ask to the fullest that it be accomplished. There be a global shout of freedom and victory tonight in the 195 countries where people have submitted prayer requests to this meeting tonight. Father, I thank you with all my heart. God, give me your wisdom, the anointing of your spirit to speak this word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, in Acts chapter 16 in the New Testament, there were two men who were heading out to serve God. And in their service to God, people rose up against them. The scripture says a multitude rose together against them. And some people know that feeling. Some people online tonight know that feeling. Some people here tonight know that feeling. That it just seemed when you set out to do good, you set out wanting to live life, you set out wanting to be a help to others and perhaps even live for God. And then suddenly this multitude, you were hit from all sides, seemingly at the same time. They came against you. They opposed you. They opposed even your will or desire just to be happy, just to have a productive life, just to be normal, may I put it that way. There seemed to be this opposition that came against you, and we're reading that in so many prayer requests this evening of people, many of whom didn't start the way they are now. They ended up that way because of circumstances that came against them in their life's journey. And they rose up against them and says they tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And I think of the numbers of people in our society today that had their innocence ripped off them when they were young. An experience that you didn't initiate, you didn't expect it was going to happen to you. But somebody came, and just like with Paul and Silas, just tore away your innocence, tore away your future, tore away your sense of well-being, your hope for tomorrow, tore the love and trust for people out of your heart. Just so many people tonight, if we stood up, people could testify to different things that happened in your life along the way. He said, God, somebody just tore the heart out of me. I reached out. I once loved somebody, and they turned around and said such vicious words to me that it just tore away my confidence, my heart. I trusted somebody in authority over my life, and they tore away my trust for humanity in general. And they were beaten with rods. Have you ever felt that way in your life? That somebody that you tried to do good to turned around and you feel like you were beaten, and all you wanted to do was to be a blessing. And when they had laid many stripes, that means whip marks or beat marks on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in prison and he put their feet in the stocks. And this is exactly what these prayer requests are about this evening. Not only were our virtue torn from us, our innocence torn from us, we feel like we've been beaten by the circumstances of life all around us. We've been thrown into a prison that we can't get out of, and there's this tormentor that's there reminding us daily that you'll never get out, you'll never be normal, you'll never be free, you'll never have a life, you'll never have a hope, you'll never have a future, you'll never have a family. And the list of never, never, nevers just seems to go on. The jailer's there to keep you in prison and to torment you and remind you that you're not free and to tell you you'll never be free. And on top of that, to put their feet in the stocks. In other words, you're not going anywhere. So don't even think that you're going to be able to get up and go anywhere. They were not only in prison, not only tormented, but made to lie down and feel like you'll never rise again. You'll never amount to anything. And so many people, I'm reading their prayer requests online tonight, and that's exactly the way you feel. You feel hopeless. You feel like you're never going to get out. The addiction, in one case, has gone on for three generations. You are in prison. Your family's in prison. The ones before you were in prison. Everyone's addicted. You're never going to get out. The jailer is there saying, you'll never rise. You'll never get out. You will always be here. And when with addiction comes horrific abuse and a loss of hope for the future. And now it's midnight. Midnight is the darkest time of the night. Midnight is that time when the sun has gone down to the fullest. It's pitch black outside, and it's right, almost right at the hour where now it can't get any darker. It's going to start to gradually get light. But it does represent the most hopeless time of humanity and the deepest darkness that people can find themselves in. And these two men that were thrown into this prison, they made a choice. And I'm asking those online tonight, I'm asking those here in the sanctuary to make a choice tonight. Make a choice. Maybe you can't get up. Maybe your feet are in the stocks. Maybe your garments, your virtue has been ripped from you. Maybe you do have a jailer that's tormenting your mind. Maybe you've been made to feel like you're never going to get up. You're never going to get free. You're never going to mount to anything. This has gone on for generations. It will never change. But at midnight, these two men in this situation made two choices. Number one, they started to pray. Number two, they started to sing. They started to worship God. They started to sing. And when they started to sing, they were still flat on their backs. They were still in pain. They were still in the deepest, darkest dungeon. It was still pitch black. You couldn't see a thing because the scripture bears witness to that. The jailer himself had to call for a light to see what was going on. You couldn't probably see your own hand. It was so dark. And they're laying there. They're on stone slabs. They're in pain. Their backs are bleeding and bruised. And they made a choice in the midst of all of their pain. In the midst of everything going on, they started to sing. And they started to give glory to God. They started to declare the goodness of God, the virtue of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God. They weren't singing the blues. They were singing the word of God. They were singing about the faithfulness of God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And so I'm asking you online tonight that have submitted these prayer requests that you would rise up and begin to sing. You rise up and begin to give God glory. You start singing, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. You start singing about the faithfulness of God. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me here thus far, and grace will take me home. God has prepared a table for me, a banquet for me in the midst of mine enemies. I have a supply of life in my heart. There rings a melody. Praise be to God. In my heart, there's a song, not put there by circumstance, not put there by any amount of human effort, a song put there by God himself. God Almighty has put hope into my heart. And so many people wait for everything to get good before they sing. They wait, everything's got to be right. Everything's got to feel good before they can sing. No, these two men chose to sing when they were in the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst places. They chose to sing, and the scripture says, and the prisoners, don't forget they were in a prison with a lot of other prisoners, were listening to them. When you begin to worship God, all the other prisoners in your family begin to listen to you. Now, some in the deep sanctums of that prison might have thought they were crazy. What are these guys doing? Worshiping God. I mean, don't they know where we are? We're not in a cathedral. We're in the inner city. We're in the inner prison. It can't get any darker than where we are. It can't get any worse than where we've been sent. And none of us are ever going to get out of here. But nevertheless, they chose to sing. They chose to worship God. It's a choice. And it's a song that God plants when he's about to do something. And if you're starting to hear the lyrics of something, will you rise up and just sing tonight? Will you rise up and just worship God? And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You begin to be the first worshiper in your family, the first of all the drug addicted in your family. You begin to worship God. You begin to declare who God is and what God can do and what God will do. You start singing, you start praying, you start giving him glory. You start speaking the word of God. You start calling things that are not as if they are, as God tells you to do. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise be to God. You start believing God for the freedom for your house, for your marriage, for your children, for your future. You start not only believing you're going to get out, but you're going to make a difference. Not only am I going to get out of here, my voice is going to be lifted up and I'm going to be a testimony of who God is. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundations of hell that have held your family for years, my friend. The foundations of hell that have told you you have no hope and you have no future begin to shake, and all the doors were open. Suddenly, you're free. Suddenly, there's a pathway before you. Suddenly, everything that was holding your mind, and your heart, and your life is broken. Do you believe that God can still do that? Yes. And everyone's chains were loosed. I shared here last week that the first one saved in our family was Pastor Teresa's mother. She was in a psychiatric ward. She read the cross on the switchblade. And she prayed, said, "Lord, if you can save me, if you can set me free, if you can save my house and my family." And she began to worship God. And she came out of that place. I remember thinking, she came out of that place talking about Jesus. And you know, the first thought you have is, well, she's, you know, been in a psychiatric ward, so you kind of expect that could happen. But she's so changed. And she became a worshiper of God. Her words began to be sweet. Now, this is the lady that nobody expected anything to come from her life. Oh, praise be to God. She was 61 years old when she got saved. And she came out of that ward and she won her whole family to Christ. All of us. All of us. All of us. And not only were the chains broken, but people went on to preach the gospel. Pastor Teresa preaches the gospel. Her sister preaches the gospel. Her brother preaches the gospel. People went on to serve God, to live for God. Nephews and nieces are coming into the kingdom of God. I was won to Christ through her and two of her friends praying for me and praying me into the kingdom of God. A lady who just simply began to worship when she was in a place of confinement. She was in a place where all these voices are saying, "You're never going to get out. And even if you do, everybody thinks you're crazy." Folks, she died in her 80s, in her early 80s. And when she died, so many people from the community came to her funeral. And it was a huge funeral home. And he had to ask people to start leaving so the lines up outside could come in. She touched so many lives in the last 20 years of her life. She began to sing a new song. And when she began to sing, chains were broken. And then I picked up the song and I began to sing. And my father got saved and my mother got saved and my brother came to Christ. And still family members are coming through and cousins started coming to the Lord. Praise be to God. One lady made the choice in a place of confinement to begin to worship God because she read that people can be saved. The Holy Spirit can break chains. He can give new life. He can take those things that are irredeemable and he can cause them to rise and shine for him again and use them for his glory. One voice started to be raised for God. And all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And all the history of alcohol and the history of violence and the history of abuse and the history of everything else that has ever gone on anywhere is broken. And an amazing thing happens. The keeper of the prison was going to commit suicide because in those days, of course, if you were a prison keeper and you lost your charge, as it was, you would be put to death. Most likely. And when you read the story, the Apostle Paul told him, "None of us have left. Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer took Paul home and Silas, and he washed his wounds. Paul led his whole family to Christ. See, this song just keeps on being sung everywhere. And I love this about Paul and Silas. They went back to jail voluntarily, because when you're truly saved, you start living for the benefit of others. Because they didn't want that jailer to suffer harm, they went back to jail. I believe it's only for his sake they went back there. Praise be to God. And this is what God can do. Take you from a place of pain, put a song in your heart, and eventually you start living for others. And it becomes the chiefest delight of your life and of your heart. But somebody somewhere has to sing at midnight. Somebody's got to sing. I know your family might be a mess tonight, but somebody's got to start worshiping God. Somebody's got to walk in that house and raise their hands. Even if everybody thinks you're crazy, it doesn't matter what they think. You're fighting for their souls. You're fighting for their future. Praise be to God. When Pastor Teresa's mother, even when she was on her deathbed in the hospital, people were coming into that room and they would go out in tears. Marriages were healed. People visiting on the verge of divorce were healed. Were healed. God walked with her. God walked with her. Found her. She found him at 61 years of age in a psychiatric ward. God walked with her. Nurses would come in and run out crying. The presence of God was in the room. I was the big preacher from New York arriving in this little town. Supposed I'm going to have a word, I suppose. Good God, for everybody. I walked in the room and the Lord said, sit down and learn something. Just sit down and learn something. Nobody could speak. Presence of God was there. And healing was still flowing. Just one lady. Then in her midnight hour, chose to worship God. And kept worshiping the rest of her days. And so my encouragement to you tonight, especially those online, as well as here in the sanctuary, is we're going to rise. I want to sing that song, God is Fighting for Us, okay? Because this is not the time for a dreary song. But somebody has got to choose to sing. And believe God that when I do, listen now, listen again. I'm going to say it one more time. The foundations of your prison will be shaken. Not just you, but your family. The doors will open. Captives will have to be released. And everybody's chains are going to fall off. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And so we're going to take the next 15 minutes and we're going to sing. I want you to do it at home. I want you to get up out of your chair. Yes, you. Get out of your chair. I want you to start to sing. And I don't care if your family thinks you're crazy. You get up and you start to sing. You start to worship God. You start to sing with us. God is fighting for us. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. God is going to light a lamp in my house that's not going to be able to be put out. God's going to bring me out of my prison. And I'm going to learn to live for the sake of others, because he's going to do something so powerful in my life that I have to speak about it. He's going to be so compassionate to me and to my house that for the rest of my life, I'm going to live to bring honor and glory to his name. This is the song. This is the midnight song. It's time to sing it, folks, because it's midnight in this world. It's midnight. Do you understand? It's midnight. It's time to get up and sing. It's time to give God glory. It's time to shout. It's time to clap your hands. It's time to dance in the presence of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.